on there, you know, where they were living, and then here comes this time, and you know, you could use a lot of ways to describe what the world was like at that point in time, even where the people that where the Bible was written, what the situation was like, and what the governments were like, and the you know the Romans being there, and all the different things that were going on, the leadership of the Jewish hierarchy. But we can say this, that there were a lot of similarities going on at that time as there are now, and as there will be in this world as long as until the second coming of Christ. We live today in a world where we need to reflect on what happened at Christmas when God, you know, when God began the process of revealing His redemption. Because redemption was a theme in the Old Testament, and over we're given a lot of illustrations about, you know, about redemption, the redemption of Israel, and it points to our own redemption. But we're still in this place where it's helpful for us to understand that the overwhelming need for redemption in our lives, in our world today, and that's where they were. That was how things were going on in their time. But it was something fresh, something new, like we talked about, something that had never been done before. How God just made His plan revealed, and He began the revelation of redemption through the birth of Jesus, the incarnation of God Himself into the world. But our world, we need the revelation and the incarnation of Jesus just as much as they did. The difference is we have it in its completeness. We need to kind of look up. And Don had a little word he was just sharing with me, and it was really similar to what God had been sharing with me, of just people being in this thicket, you know, in this a place of you know, just kind of in darkness and in this thicket of place, and then there was the glory of the Lord, and basically that's what God had kind of shown to me in a different way about the Word this morning, that and especially the Word in the Old Testament about redemption being for us. The picture that the Lord showed me was more, it was the same thing, but it was there, that here we were, and the people of God, so many of us, redemption has come to us, but it's like we were still standing in the prison and not accepting the freedom that God had brought to set us free and our redemption. And I just saw, like so many of God's people, that the doors were opened. God standing there in His glory, Jesus Christ, there right in front of us, but for whatever reason, not able to lift our eyes to Him and not experience our complete freedom in Jesus, the freedom that He's brought to us. So I want to read like from Jeremiah 31, but I'm not going to read all of it, but all the verses that we read. But just take some of this out of here and just try to grasp some truths from this little passage from Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 11. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. And this is the deal. This is the thing. Those things that have us imprisoned, where we are imprisoned, they're stronger than we are without the redemption of Christ. Those things, that whatever it is in our life that keeps us from being totally free in Him and from experiencing His total redemption, they are stronger than us. And this was the picture that the Lord painted about Jacob. He said that he'd been ransomed from the hand of one stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord. So the first truth that I think that we can get from this passage is that once you grasp the idea of redemption in your heart, once you realize what redemption truly is, and this seems to be what happened here, once you realize that, the power of being drawn to God will be an ever-present reality in your life. And there will be an always drawing of the Lord to lift up your eyes. That even as we sometimes, in our own flesh, or whether it's because of the enemy, or whatever the reason being, that we still stand in that place, whether it's the dark thicket, we're not... And Father Don saw people walking out of it into the glory of God. And I think that's what the Lord is saying to us, for us to walk out. Some of us are still standing in the prisons. We're still standing there, but the door is wide open. The lock is gone. That we're just, all we need to do, God is saying, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Your redemption draws here. Look up. Look in His face. Look at the Lord. See what has happened. And once we realize that, once we get that in our hearts, that we have been redeemed from these things, that we have been set free, then it will always draw us to the Lord. That's why even when we were singing that song, and that song earlier about, you know, sometimes we make mistakes, even when we fall, even when we fail, even when our eyes are not lifted up, even when the enemy gets his little places in our, there's always this draw, because we know we have been redeemed. We know we have been set free. But God wants us to look up. God wants us to see our freedom and to walk in our freedom so that we can experience what that freedom is about. In Galatians 3, he says, for all of you, in verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. The promise is that by faith you have been set free. The doors are open. Look up. See Jesus. Walk in Him. Know that everything in Him, that He has done what He did, the blood that He shed, He did it for the life of the world. And again, we're in this place, in this world, where everything in the world is coming against us. Everything comes against your faith, your belief. You know, I speak a lot and talk about and have a lot of passion, as do many in this parish and many in the body of Christ, for unborn children, because I understand about the blood that's being shed, and that it has spiritual meaning, and that there's even an attack on the very place, the womb of woman. That it's not about a political issue or who's elected, who's not elected. That there's this spiritual issue where the womb, where life itself, where God creates this the womb of a woman for life to be created, for life to be nurtured, for life to be protected. And there's an all-out attack on that. And not only on the womb, but there's an attack on those who would even say anything that brings truth and light to the subject. That you can't even speak about it. You know, I was just reading, and I sent out to some of you, you may have gotten it, but you know, last year, the Super Bowl, you know the Super Bowl's a big deal, right? A lot of people watch the Super Bowl. Last year, there was an attempt to put a pro-life message in one of the Super Bowl ads. Now, Super Bowl ads cost $4 million. This year, there's another attempt. Last year, they denied it. There was money. They had the money. We'll give you the $4 million. No, we don't want to have political issues. Well, this year, there's another attempt. And this time, they want to put the story of little Timmy on there. You know the story of little Timmy, right? The mother of little Timmy, the mother that she was, you know, their family were, they were missionaries in the Philippines, and she was pregnant with her fifth or sixth child, and they told her because of the condition that she had, you know, that if she went ahead and had this baby, that it would probably kill her, and the baby, and if she lived, that the baby would be. Would never be normal and never be right. But she said her faith said no to have this child, to do what was right, to do everything she could And all the pressure that was against her, and all the doctors were telling her that she needed to abort the baby early. But she decided to have that baby. And he did pretty good in the game. When was it, Friday or Saturday, in the game where Tim Tebow played against, who did they beat? Cincinnati. Yeah, Tim Tebow was this little boy. And many of you have heard that testimony. But they didn't even want the story told. They didn't even want that story to be told. Still don't want it to be told. There's still a fight just to get that ad on at the Super Bowl, which could just shed truth. There's a lot of truth. The very essence of life is being attacked. The truth of life. Even and you know, this goes even into the scientific community, and just the whole idea, not of creationism versus evolution, but just the idea of intelligent design versus Darwinism. That you can't even, that if you're a professor, that you can't even have a peer-reviewed paper that mentions intelligent design, or you're liable to lose your tenure, or you lose your job. That if you even mention it, that the pressure from the scientific community is so strong that they don't want any, there's an attempt to wipe out any traces of who God is, or what God is all about, and especially of this idea that God came in flesh as a child, as a baby, for the redemption of the world, for our redemption. So sometimes it's a fight. Sometimes we don't want to look up. Sometimes it's easier to just shrink back and just go along with what the world is saying, and just go along with everybody else, or else to bow down to the pressures that come to us through, whether it's satanic or whether it's our own flesh or whatever it is. It's easier to just back up. It's easier to not look up, to not look at Him. But once we lift our eyes upon Him, He will open the gates, and the glory of God can come and flood our lives. The second truth I want to get out of here is this passage is that the revealed goodness of God reinforces His ability to nourish us with the very life of God. Now, I want to say that again. The revealed goodness of God is the reinforcement of His ability to nourish us with the very life of God. In other words, let me put it this way. There are a lot of people that believe in a lot of gods. Somebody say amen. That we're not the only people that are religious or people of faith. But God chose to reveal His goodness. And that's what this passage says back in Jeremiah. He said, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, streaming to the goodness of the Lord. Streaming to the goodness of the Lord. After experiencing the redemption of God. That's what I was talking about, this drawing that we have. That once we know and understand and somehow receive and believe in His redemption for us, then it draws us to Him, and what reinforces and what keeps us being drawn to Him is His goodness. That He is a good God. That we don't serve God because we're under the law. And you know, we can go back in Galatians 3 and see all that. And you know, but that's not what God is doing. God isn't drawing us to a God. He's not drawing us to a being that has all the rules and the regulations for us. He's drawing to us from His own goodness. And so His goodness was revealed. And that's what it says down in verse 14. I will satiate the soul of the priests with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. It's the goodness of God. Amen? That we have a good God. That we're not just serving a God that that created the universe, a God that that even still works among people, we are serving a God that is a good God, a God that says to us, not only do I love you, and not only do I want you to love one another, but a God that says to us, I am love. He is love. He doesn't just do love, He is love. That's the goodness of God that continues to reinforce our faith in Him, our belief in Him, so that when we get down, when we get discouraged, when we get in despair, that we don't have to look and say, Oh God is going to kill me. God doesn't love me anymore. I've failed Him now. It's over forever. I can't ever go back to church. I can't do anything because God knows how bad I am. That's the whole point. He knows it and He loves you in the midst of it.